Ladies and gentlemen, you know exactly what time it is. Welcome back to the Catitude Podcast. I'm your host, Anders Pryor. Thank you for making this show and all of us here at the Believe Network a part of your sports media consumption week. Guys, it's good to be back. I've missed you guys. Lots of stuff has been going on. And this is a very unique episode as the season has now officially concluded. Although some might like to argue that the season had died and it was reborn in certain other points. But in terms of, as far as the NCAA definition, the season is now officially concluded. And we are in bracket-busting territory at the moment. I personally have a little bit of a traitor pick. I have UNC going all the way. And then I have them going up against Illinois on one side. And on the other side, I have Tennessee and Duke. UNC is the only one seed that I have. I think, you know, it is perceived, you know, that you, or, you know, view that UNC is overall the weakest one seed, which I think is a pretty fair fair statement. But I think they have such an easy path, and they just check the most boxes for me in terms of offense, defense, experience, depth, coaching, etc. And so that's my pick. But you know, we're on day two right now of the first round. You know, hopefully you guys aren't in too deep of water as, you know, some of the people that I know. But, you know, we're all having fun here. So I hope that everyone is having a good day through this fluctuating weather. And we're going to get right into it, talk about some really important things now that the off season for us has officially begun. So obviously the big kind of discussion point is that it's been made clear yesterday, Mark Jackson, Villanova athletic director, comes out and says Kyle Neptune is coming back as the head coach. And not only announced it, but also very clearly, you know, he affirmed him in that, you know, saying, you know, he's the right guy. And that he is the correct person to bring us to where we want to be and to take us, you know, to where we can go. Obviously, I think by and large, the general reaction from the fan base is more negative than positive. I think collectively there was disappointment in that, you know, despite the improvements that he made in various metrics, the result was ultimately the same, which is a first round exit in the NIT. I think that, you know, it's hard. The end of the season is hard because, I mean, we saw what the committee did with the bracket this year. And I think, you know, realistically, if they're going to leave Seton Hall out and they're going to leave a team like Indiana State out, I think, you know, I personally was a fault of this. I thought that beating Marquette would have pushed us over the edge. I honestly don't think that is the case. If we did not beat Providence in the next round, I don't think we would have made the cut just based off of what the qualifications were for this year's bracket. But I think the get us where we need to be is an interesting remark for me, because where we needed to be, like, we were there, you know, two and a half years ago. So I think back, as more specific language, back to where we are supposed to be, I think is a kind of more accurate statement. But I was talking about this with some Villanova fans who I'm very close with. And, you know, there are a lot of them that, you know, care about what I have to say, right? Like you guys do when you tune into the show, etc. And I was asked, you know, what do you think of Neptune? And the way I described it, and I do believe that ultimately this, I think this is, you guys have probably noticed that throughout the show, the way that I've described Neptune and his aura and his process and kind of what his identity is has shifted. And I think now that we have a full second year of film, I think I have as good of a grasp as I can have on what Kyle Neptune is and who he is as a coach. And to me, what that is that he is a good coach and a young coach who is learning on the job, who on a micro level does not seem to fully grasp the weight of the role that he possesses. Now, here's what I mean by that. If we break that down into sections, good meaning you give him credit because he has a winning record as a head coach, and that is not a vacuum statement. He's done that in the Big East with back-to-back, and I believe this is correct, back-to-back top 20 strength of schedule placements. So, you know, this is not Patrick Ewing, right? Where you can clearly just see that there is not, you know, there's not enough necessary stuff there. You can see it, right? You can see that there's something there. I think everyone can. I think that that's the opening part. Like, he's a good coach. And he is young. That's the other thing too. There's a lot of guys in the Big East with a lot more reps than he has. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, I mean, I know he was at Fordham for a year. Doesn't really count. A lot of people, I've heard a fair idea, which is that he would be so much better here if he had spent, hell, not even just another year, like not even, you know, 5-6 years before, even if it was just like another year or two more years on top of what he was already there for, then he could just get reps. Because right now, he's learning how to coach against the Big East on the job, essentially, which is a really, really big ask of someone. And I think, you know, you give him a break for that because, you know, again, when we've talked about this on the show before, the going from top assistant to head coach is not a linear upgrade. It's an entirely fundamentally different, you know, just set of tasks that you have. You know, one's not a more prestigious or less prestigious version of the other. So, you know, getting those reps in, that's hard. That's a big ask for someone. And you do it because, you know, love of the Jay Wright Association, that's what you do. And sometimes that works, right? Sometimes, you know, it works with John Shayer and he's great right away. Sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's Hubert Davis where it's a roller coaster where you get to the title game and then you don't even make the tournament the next year and blah, 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 right? This roller coaster. Sometimes it's Adrian Autry at Syracuse where he's taking over for Boeheim and he's following up his body of work. But the last couple years at Syracuse were kind of eh, so it's not as straightforward. It goes differently either time. And so I think collectively, even though the expectations are high just by you know, transitive property, it is a big ask. And then there's the last part, which is kind of the meat of it, which is, okay, where is he? Well, he's at Nova, and that's a big job. That's a job that there are coaches around the country that would lick their chops and drop everything, no matter where they are, how long they've been, to have that position. And, you know, there are programs, even prestigious programs, notable Power Five programs, where if they did a total shift, you could take some time. And I don't think that this is the case. So you look at the margin of improvement that was made by Neptune from year one to year two, and you view it as, okay, how many more of these margins would he need to get to the place where we need to be as a program? And the question for Mark Jackson, the athletic director, is, can he get there fast enough? And if he makes this improvement this year, and then this year, and then this year, and then this year, can he get there? Now, everyone's going to answer that question a little differently, because a lot of people are going to say, well, we were up until the very end, like in the first, in like the last four in, you know, with two weeks remaining, we were a 10 seed. And so if he just makes that next little stretch, you know, you don't lose the Drexel game, you know, Kansas State doesn't make that buzzer beater, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then it's different, right? Other people might say, okay, well, what's like the ethos of the school? Like, when you envision Villanova basketball, like, what do you envision? And they think about that image. And it's not even necessarily winning the championship, but they think about, okay, what does that look like? And I think to a lot of people, that when they envision that image, it would take Kyle 4 or 5 more years to get them to that point. And I think not everyone in the fan base, not everyone in the athletic department, I don't wants to wait that long, assuming that that is the trajectory that we are subscribing to. Which I think is fair. Now, it's important to recognize that Kyle is on a 3-year contract. And so this is like this. So this is it. I believe it is 3 years. I know I've heard 5. I believe it is 3. But regardless, this is it. Like, I think if we look at it through the lens of this being the proven year. Because again, like, if you take the gap that he made from 1 to 2 and then replicate it, we probably do get into the tournament. And to some people, that is enough. Because to some people, like, all they want is just to make the tournament. And if he can do that, then they'll believe in him. To others, it's a little bit more abstract. But I think that's expected. I think for a situation as big as this, and for a program as big and complex as this, as Nova, it's harder to have as clear yeses or nos across the board. Versus if you're at a smaller place, like, it's okay, well, are you good enough or are you not? And then you make the decision and move on. This is not that, I don't think. I think the most interesting thing is the Jay Wright comparison in the sense of like the first two seasons. It's hard to, it's always difficult for me to have a relationship with that stat because, you know, on one hand, it's you can point out, well, when Jay Wright came in and inherited this program, it was irrelevant for a while versus, you know, Neptune's coming in with a very established culture, which is true. On the one side. The other side is that, you know, Jay Wright had coaching experience before at Hofstra, you know, and an ample amount of it versus in comparison to, you know, Neptune barely having a year at Fordham. And in addition, I think collectively, Neptune is inheriting, as I said before, a very strong Big East and a very hard strength of schedule with, you know, year one, you know, with Moore out and Whitmore out, you know, stunting his development as a coach because you need all of those things to be able to fully practice what you want to practice. What I would say going forward is there's going to be a lot of points of judgment this upcoming season because what we're going to have is, so we saw Kyle enter year one basically just being handed, you know, Jay Wright's work. And then year two, we get, you know, a handful of transfers, which were picked by Kyle. And a freshman in Jordan Dumas, but Jordan Dumas did not really play. Well, I don't know why I'm saying not really play. He didn't play this year. And so when he plays next year, whatever we see with him, that'll be, you know, as part of whatever practice Jordan gets, you know, through Kyle's development and coaching. And then he's also going to be having this upcoming year, his first, you know, Jordan Dumas by himself, you know, one guy who plays is barely a taggable freshman class, let alone someone who redshirts just, you know, straight out the gun. So that doesn't really count to me. This upcoming class with Hodge, Mosley, and Thomas is Neptune's first, like, real class. That's, like, his and his alone. So I want to see how they play. I think for me, what I'm going to be looking for next year, even including any potential transfers that transfer into Villanova that haven't yet, is the play of the freshmen, the three guys plus Dumont. I'm going to be looking at that as the biggest indicator, because the way I see it, you know, if you look at making the tournament as kind of the make or break, I see it in the way of, well, and this just kind of logically makes sense, if the freshmen play well and Hodges contributes and is as, you know, athletic and versatile as he is in you know, at St. Rose, and you know, and you know, Thomas and Mosley are, you know, they're bigger guys, and so you have, you know, if they can contribute to the sort of rebounding culture that's been so important in Villanova for so long, well, if all that happens and they play really well, then Villanova is probably going to make the tournament anyway. So it's a one-to-one correlation, versus if they kind of are sort of eh. Because you got to remember, a lot of space is clearing up, right? You know, with Moore being gone, and, you know, we don't know about Dixon yet, and Hart's going to be gone. There's going to be spots to fill. There's going to be minutes to fill, right? So these guys are going to play. Like, this is going to, people don't fully ready. Like, next year's team is going to be a young team. Like, Matt Hodge, I think, I would bet on him to start next year. And so I want to see how they do. I want to watch very closely, you know, their collective as a, you know, how they operate. Because I think that they do well, then we made the tournament anyway. But obviously, the now that the sort of in-season stuff has set its course, you know, with back-to-back years of not even making, you know, losing in the first round to the NIT, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the bar now is very clear, where either you make the tournament or you're out. You know, there's no more kind of room for just, you know, abstract and holistic evaluations. Either do it or don't do it. Which I think makes the conversations going into the year easy and not overly complicated, the way that they sort of are now, where the Kyle Neptune conversation is sort of, you know, it kind of feels like it's one, it's five different conversations sort of wrapped into one. Next year will be a lot simpler than that. It's either do it or don't do it. So we'll see. We'll kind of be able to watch and kind of, we're going to see, you know, these last 2 years, we've sort of come in and have viewed it in the lens of a more kind, all right, so like, what do we have here? Because we're so not used to Jay not being there that we've sort of, we have to almost reteach ourselves evaluation. Now, 2 years later, I think we've gained those skills, and next year we're gonna have a full playing field with a bunch of knowledge, and we're gonna be able to make very informed judgments on Neptune and the job that he does as a coach. And I'm very excited to see, because I'm really excited about the freshmen that are gonna come in, and I'm really excited about, you know, what Mark and Brandon are going to continue to do in our backcourt. I wouldn't even say that that's optimistic. I think that that's just logical. I in regards to back-to-back NIT first-round exits, I would like to point to an idea that, you know, we're a pretty spoiled fan base. You know, like we got 20 years of excellence, and we've had, you know, 2 years with a winning record, and where everyone's kind of freaking out, saying that the athletic department should release a statement, which, by the way, would not be something that I would be against. That's an idea that I've heard floated out a handful of times, and I would agree with it, just to kind of settle some stuff. But again, you know, you're going to have that group where they want it, and then the department's going to do it, and then they're just going to pick it apart for not being harsh enough. So, you know, a lot of Villanova fans have kind of already decided that they're not going to be happy. But I think I'm open to sort of seeing how things go and evaluating from there. But that's going to do it for me today, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for going with me on this journey throughout this season. It's been great. Obviously, you know, we're gonna do check-ins, and we're all gonna, you know, be active. I'll tell you this: go follow me on Twitter at capital A capital P hate sports. It's been a goal of mine one of my New Year's resolutions to be more active on Twitter, or X, and I think that's because I want to kind of build a sense of community around, you know, all the stuff that I do, but especially this show. And so thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in to the Catitude Podcast on the Believe Network. I've been your host, Anders Pryor. Have a great day. Happy weekend. Go and strive and pray that all of your brackets are not done in 24 hours, like mine probably will be. Some bad stuff. Got bad breaks yesterday, but go enjoy yourselves. Go Cats. I'll talk to you guys very soon.